Praise the Lord. I want to go a little more slowly this evening than I had time for this morning through these verses that deal with the tongue and how important it is that we speak with authority. And I know this is like Faith 101 to a lot of people. I cut my teeth on these things. I had never heard any of these. This was when Sue and I first got born again. I had grown up in church, but I had never heard these truths in my life. And I'll just be honest with you, they have saved our lives, knowing these things. God has used His Word in this way to rescue our children. All three of our daughters are in rebellion. Most of you know that story and how we had to bridle our tongue. So let's just look at them a little more methodically than we did this morning, because God had a certain thing He wanted to do. So let's just start this time in Proverbs 18, verse 21. This is powerful verse. You'll see Jesus, how He functioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And again, we only have one visitor that's ever really been here from heaven. We only have the one who really knows how this works. And how do you co-labor with the Holy Spirit so that God's power is released through your and His actions together to release the power of God so that the will of the Father can be done? You remember John 5:30. He says, everything that I do because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Well, that's the Father. Well, so Proverbs 18:21, just real plain scripture, says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, you can take that two ways, just in the natural. You know, if you're called to be a witness in a court of law and take the stand, you can perjure yourself and maybe cause somebody to be put to death. That shouldn't be, that type of thing. Well, there's truth to that, okay, of course. But what he's really talking about here is life and death in the sense of God's Word, God's will being accomplished in the earth. This one's not on my list, but it keeps coming up in me. I'm just going to go ahead and do this one. This one's a little bit blind in the King James, but remember when told Jesus that his friend Lazarus was sick and they were asking him to come and pray? And he didn't come right away, you remember? So eventually, and one of the reasons he didn't, Dave has taught us, is because in that region the Jews were lying in wait to kill him. That's the reason they had left that area. So his disciples, when he says, okay, we're going to go back now, they're going, don't you remember they're wanting to kill you there? And let's go. Lazarus sleeps. And they're going, oh, good. If he's getting rest, he'll get better. We don't need to go. And the King James, I think it says, Lazarus is dead. He finally told them plain. In the Greek, he uses I'm not one of those Greek. I can read it. I don't have the reference with me. But he uses one of those past, present, participle, invertive something or other that means this. What he actually said, what they heard with their ears was not Lazarus is dead, but Lazarus has died. Even then, he would not just say blatantly, Lazarus is dead. Now, he wasn't lying, but he would just not say it, Lazarus is dead. Or he said, Lazarus has died. But that, you know, he'd already said this will not end in death. Amen? So, Jesus was very careful about the words that he spoke, that he could convey the precise will of the Father, and we are becoming those same people. Say it with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I choose life, and I speak life in His name. All right, now go to Matthew 12. We didn't get to go to this one this morning. This morning we really focused on Mark 11, 22 through 26. And we may go there again tonight, but I want to make sure and include these verses that I did not get to mention this morning. So Matthew 12, I'm going to go there myself because there might be some surrounding things. Matthew 12, starting in verse 34. He says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Is that strong? Is that powerful or what? Now, in the context, if you back up just a little bit, look at verse 22. What prompted this? Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by the prince of devils. Now that's their words. Out of the treasure of their heart, this was what they spoke. He's doing this by the power of the devil. Because they thought he was of the devil. It's in that context. When you start denying who Jesus is and the spirit by which he functioned, which is the Holy Ghost, you think, now they can repent of that as long as they're on this earth. But if you die in that condition, there is no second chance after this life that I know of that to declare him as Lord and the spirit by which he and we function. Amen. All right. So he was telling them, listen, you're going to have to change your words and what you're saying. By your words, what you just said, you're going to be justified or you're going to be condemned. You better be careful who you say I am. And you better be careful how I do what I do. This very week, in the last week or two, we talked about Moses and how Aaron and Miriam, wasn't it Miriam? Yeah, Aaron, and they started speaking against him. Hey, you know, how come we hear God? Basically, who put you in charge? Well, they found out who put him in charge. Well, who put Jesus in charge? Hey, Jesus is the head of the church. Okay? He is the head of the church. He's the one we surrender to. He is Lord. Our lives belong to us. I'm not trying to use my salvation for Jesus to build me a kingdom. A lot of people are. A lot of people are. No. I am a bought and paid for person. My life belongs to him. And what I'm trying to do is find out how to surrender myself more to him and not the other way around. Okay? All right. Let's go to James again. Let's look at those verses over in James. Because there's some more there that I didn't get to cover this morning. Starting chapter 1. I don't know if I'll ever forget the day. You know, how was it Alan was saying that? You know, when you're assimilating the Bible and you're reading it 30 times, 40 times, and you're thinking, my God, surely by now I have it memorized. And on the 41st time, you're reading it, you just read it 40 times 10 minutes ago, and it's like, when did they put this verse in here? I remember the day that it was like that on this verse, and it just slapped me upside the face, and still, every time I see it, it still does. I mean, verse 26, if any man among you seems to be religious, well, we get a lot of those, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And that means empty, useless, powerless. Sounds like a lot of churches. If we really had time, and maybe we do a little bit, let's back up a little bit into the context of this one. See, look at verse 22. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Now notice, deceiving your own selves. Now, come right on down. Hold your place there. Come right on down to verse 26. Deceiving his own heart. Did you think these might be connected? Okay, you just hear the word all the time. Oh, I love going and hearing that Pastor Dave. You know, he's so full of love, and he is. He's so full of humor, and he is. I just love hearing that Pastor Dave. I've been going to the prayer center 10 years. I just love it. Yeah. Do you pray? Oh, God, no. I don't do that stuff. I just like going. You're deceiving your own heart. You're thinking you're going to change by just coming and enjoying Dave's fruit. I mean, it's good to come. I mean, you know, I tell people all the time, you need to come to conference, you know, if they live some other state or somewhere. I say, you need to come. Oh, no, we'll get the tapes. I said, the tapes are good. But it's hard to taste that atmosphere. Now, you need to be in the atmosphere. I said, I go here, and I'm telling you, it's stronger during conference. You need to come and be in that presence. Let God wash you a little bit, you old rascal. You know? But see, if you don't become a doer of the word, you deceive your own heart. You don't even need the devil to deceive you. You're deceiving yourself. And part of being a doer of the word, why he's connecting that up, part of being a doer of the word is you begin saying the truth of the word about you and about every circumstance. See, the enemy, I think I told you the other night, it's amazing. I have dreams. Y'all have dreams? Not all of them are God, you know. Dear Lord. And here lately, I've been going through that season. Thank God it doesn't happen all the time, but I've been going through this season, and I don't know why. But it's like every failure that I've ever had in my life, which I've had a few, reminds me of a song. But anyway, I'll spare you. Some of you know it. I wake up, and it's like all night long I've been looking at mistakes, failures, sins, bad ones. What are they? None yet. But bad stuff. And I wake up like, oh, thank God it was just a dream. And some of that happened. I mean, I've been a Christian for 30 some odd years. Some of that happened a quarter of a century ago. Now, see, God says that when he forgives me, he takes my sins and he throws them in that sea and he will remember them no more. So I know it's not God bringing all that stuff up to me, but the devil had to keep a scrapbook. It's got to be the devil. And he's bringing all that stuff up. Now, here's the thing. If I allow myself to meditate on that and think on that, especially, it's been happening daily. You know, pretty soon, I really am no good. I'm not changed. I'm still at the same old sinner saved by grace. I ain't never been no good. I'm no good now. I never will be any good. Well, boy, that makes me a, you know, what's he after? He's after my gift. He's after my calling in the body of Christ. And ultimately, if I let him, he's after my life. If I let him, he got my sister that way. Most of you know, 40 some odd years ago, you know. Now, the devil's a liar. So what do I have to do? Do I just counteract that with good thoughts? Do you just think the devil away? That's how Jesus did it, right? When he was tempted in the desert. 40 days and 40 nights, and here comes the tempter. And so the tempter's doing all of these things, and what did Jesus do? Happy thoughts. Happy thoughts, happy thoughts. I think I'll sing a hymn. Is that what he did? It is written. You got to use your tongue to change the course of your ship. It is written. It is written. It is written. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're right, devil. I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace. Now I am the righteousness of God in Him. I used to be a servant to sin, a slave. I am no longer a slave to sin. Now I am a slave to righteousness through Jesus Christ my Lord. I walk as a new creature because I am a new creature, and I walk in newness of life. I don't walk according to the flesh anymore. You just start talking it for a little while, and pretty soon you start walking it. But the talk normally comes before the walk. Even Abraham had to learn that. Should we go there? Okay. Keep your place in James. I don't think we're through. And go to Romans 4, I believe it is. Romans 4. Oh, Abraham had to learn this. Now, see, Abraham was 99, wasn't he, roughly? And Sarah was about 90. So, I mean, these are aged people. And the thing of it is, even when they were young, Sarah had always been barren. She'd never had any children. So now it is past the time of the way of women, okay? I mean, it's in the history of the world, no woman has ever gotten pregnant and given birth in that condition. Yet God comes and He says, you're going to have a child of your own loins. Now, He knows how we're made. He knows what's required. So, encapsulating this, first God changed His vision. You remember that? Now, I like to picture it this way. Abraham and Sarah had been married for decades. And if you'll allow me, all they'd ever seen was an empty crib in the tent. I don't know if they had one or not, but allow me to teach, okay? Okay? Because you know that she wanted a child. We know Abraham wanted a child. But we're not talking about Hagar right now. We're talking about a child born to them, the two of them. Empty crib for decades. Decades. Now you go look in the mirror when you're 99. It's not pretty. It doesn't fill you with hope, you know. You go, and then God says, I got to change you. I got to change you on the inside, because God knows faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if there's no hope, there's nothing for faith to give substance to. So you remember the story. What did God do? He come and took Abraham. Basically, I see it this way. Hey, Abraham, let me get you by the hand. Let me take you outside. And it was on a starry night. I've been in the desert on a starry night, boy. When it's still and man, I'm telling you, I used to pull over the trucks just to get, being one of those, you know, in between cities, you know, and there's not a street light for anywhere in sight. And one of those dark nights, man, get out, just look up in the sky, and I'm telling you, the stars that you can see with the naked eye, it's like diamonds on black velvet. There's so many, you just feel like you could reach up and get a handful of them. I know it had to be like that for Abraham. He's looking up at these stars in that desert night. And he said, can you see those stars? In other words, Abraham, quit looking at that empty crib. I got something for you to look at. You see those stars? Your seed, your children, will number like those stars you're looking at right now. What was he doing? He was painting an image of hope on the inside of Abraham. Something for him to see, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope has everything to do with what you see on the inside. You can't see it in the natural. You got to see it on the inside first. So that's the first thing God did. God's word is like that on any, I don't care what it is the enemy has come against you with. The first thing God's word does is throw you the lifeline of hope. If you're sick, He throws you the lifeline. There's healing for you. If you're lost, there's salvation for you. If you're broke, He's your provider. I mean, I'm doing this because He's throwing you like a lifeline with an inner tube on it. You know, here, grab hold onto this. Grab hold. Here's hope for you. And that's first. But see, the second phase of faith has two parts. Believe in the heart and say with the mouth. You got to believe in the heart, say with the mouth. He didn't just give Abraham the vision. If he'd have done that, Isaac would never have been born. No, he had to change what Abraham was saying. And at the time, his name was Abram. But after he gave him the vision, then he comes and he says, your name shall no more be called Abram. From this day forward, you shall be called Abraham. And that name in the Hebrew means, I am the father of a multitude. Now you talk about learning to call those things which be not as though they were. Right there, with no evidence, go look in the mirror, still 99 years old. Sarah, go look in the mirror, 90 years old. Past the time of the way of women. There's not even any eggs to be fertilized, nothing there. And God says, you are, not you will be, you are the father of a multitude. Now get that image. Your seed shall number like the stars of heaven. Hallelujah. So he gave him hope. Now he's got hope. But what about faith? Well, faith calls those things which be not as though they were. See? So he changes his name. And every time he says it, I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. Well, now you're starting to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, he works with the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. Every time he says it now, he's co-laboring with the Holy Ghost. And a miracle took place in both of their bodies. Both of their bodies. And we know the rest of the story. So Abraham had to learn that. So here in Romans 4, let's start in verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Everyone say, I'm part of all. I'm part of all the seed. The promise is sure to me. Okay. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God. Now here's two things Abraham had to learn about God. Who quickeneth the dead, that's number one. And number two, God calls those things which be not as though they were. That's one of the reasons I love these calling in the law sessions. Most people never get around in their daily lives to becoming a doer of the word when it comes to calling those things which be not as though they were. They're really good at calling things that are the way they are. But there is no power to change what are by calling what are. Because it already are. All you're doing now is reestablishing what already are. Okay? God says you take His word, which is truth. Now, we don't deny what are. Are is the facts. We don't deny the facts. But see, Jesus never said, Father, thy word is fact. He said, Father, thy word is truth. Truth will change facts. Whew. Did it change it for Sarah? What are the facts? Always been barren. Now you're not even ovulating anymore. It's past the time of the way of women. Oh, and by the way, your husband's not such a hot rod anymore either. Facts. Facts upon facts upon facts. Then I love the little quotes. But God. But God. See, what does God say? God said something different than the facts. And His word, believed in the heart and spoken with the mouth, changed the facts. And it will do it every single time. You've got to remember, I hope you remember, I got to quit calling it the hula hoop message, higher thoughts and higher ways. But it's so real to me now that we are not of this earth. We are from the realm of God. The physics of that realm completely will dominate the physics of this realm when we have faith in that and we learn how to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. One of the primary reasons we're here is to learn how to work, to say it this way, to learn how to function as He functioned so the same works can be accomplished here through us that He did. He came to show us how to do it. It's difficult transition for the natural mind. And that's why I keep putting this on here. Anyway, let me finish the verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I had me put that on there. Now I know. All right. Hallelujah. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now get this. Who against hope believed in hope. What in the world? Well, see, all natural hope was gone. In the natural, when you're 99 and your wife's 90 and you've been married all those years and never had any children anyway, there is no natural hope. So against that kind of hope, he believed in hope. What kind of hope? The kind that he had when God took him out to look at the stars. He believed what God said, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And when he said that, so shall thy seed be, that's the day or night that he took him out to look at the stars. So shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Boy, there's times you have to consider not the facts. When we were standing for our three daughters, and all three daughters were in rebellion at the time, and I had reports coming in, I knew what was going on. It's the same stuff you'd think would be going on. I knew bars and drinking and carousing and all of that stuff, and maybe worse, and if you know more, you shut up. But anyway, but it was enough. I knew. Amen. If you come, and so did Sue. You come in, how your daughters doing? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy, they cast out devils, they speak with new tongues. However long you wanted to stand there, I'd slam you with the word of God till you walked off. I had learned the hard way not to call things that are the way they are. It was time to speak God's word. And he gave us a word to stand on. I mean, it's for anybody, but the one, it was in Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. He said, I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. Glory to God, we had our word. And all three of them straightened up. None of them got, lifelong diseases or anything like that happened to them. They all three wound up good wives and raising godly children themselves. So praise God for that. Okay? But we had to learn. And I wonder, what if we hadn't? What if we'd have just called things that are the way they are? And it goes on for decades and, you know? No. Let's say what he says. Say it with me again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I speak life. I speak life over myself, my family, my finances, my ministry, my friends, my enemies. I speak life in Jesus' name. That's good stuff. Amen. All right. Now he was getting me all excited there a while ago. Go, I have it on the page. I didn't know how we'd get there. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, this is why we have so much trouble with this. The natural mind does not understand this. Your natural mind has not been to heaven yet. If you'll allow me, your spirit has, in a way. Because your spirit is from there. Your spirit was birthed from there. Your spirit is not of this world. But your mind has never been there. And the thing of it is, your mind cannot be directly taught the things of the kingdom of God. We keep thinking that it can be, but the Bible's real clear that it can't. The things of God, you have to get them spiritually. Now, your spirit has the power to re-educate your mind. I'm finally figuring out what this means when it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have to get it from your spirit, or your mind is not going to get it. You can get knowledge. There's a big difference between knowledge and revelation. There's a big difference between knowing what... I used to try and walk in the faith of these giants that had preceded us, you know, Smith Wigglesworth and others that you could name. And I'd try and do... I'd read what they did. I'd go fall flat on my face. I felt like the sons of Sceva. You know, I've come to preach the Jesus that Paul preaches. Or I've come to preach the Jesus that John G. Lake preaches, or that Smith Wiggles, and I'd get smacked. And I found out it's hard to live on another man's faith. You got to develop your own relationship with the Lord. You've got to walk with Him yourself. You got to put your hand in those nail-scarred hands and let Him lead you through some scary places sometimes. But during that process, you get to where you trust Him. Oh, man. Preaching good now. First Corinthians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages. Starting in verse 12, that's where you thought, yeah. It says, now we have received, now that we're born again, not the spirit of the world, little s, and that's correct, but the spirit which is of God. And that's the real you. The real you is that spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You remember when Jesus told Peter and the 12, he said, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you're not able to bear them now. What he meant was, he says, well, I've taught you by parables. I've tried to convey spiritual principles to you as well as can be done to a spiritually dead person. But to go beyond here, you've got to have, to understand more, you've got to have a spirit born of God to truly be able to understand the things of God. So that's why he was introducing them to the Holy Spirit, who would be the one who would come after they're born again and start revealing truth to their new nature. Okay? So, it's saying the same things here. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Well, why? Why did we need that? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now notice, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Now notice, neither can he know them. Don't be surprised when the world ridicules you, when you call those things that be not as though they were. It's foolishness to them. What? What do you mean calling yourself healed? I can plainly see the symptoms on your body. And you can try and explain it to them, but if they have not been born again, if there is no Spirit of God on the inside of them, they have no capacity to ever understand what you're talking about. They just think you're crazy. There's only one message for them, and that's Christ and Him crucified. That's why in this same passage, just back up, in the same chapter, Paul says, you know, Paul's the one that came and preached Christ here and got these people born again in the first place. So look, in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Well, that's the only message for the sinner. They've got to receive that new nature on the inside. I'd like to say it this way. They've got to receive the child of God in order to be taught of God. You have to have a spirit from heaven, a spirit from God, to understand the things of God. Now, I have found that, I'm not saying your natural mind will ever totally get it, but your natural mind can get it good enough to function. Your spirit is normally the one that turns, once it understands these things, it'll turn around and it'll educate your mind. And I'm pretty sure that's what Paul was talking about in Ephesians 4 when he says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Your spirit, as it gets taught by the Holy Ghost, turns around and it re-educates your natural mind. I don't know that my natural mind will ever understand how water can support the weight of a man. I don't know that my natural mind will ever do that. But my natural mind can be brought to the place of obedience. That when the Lord says, step out on it. If He says, come, bless God, I'm coming. We're stepping out there. Amen? Okay, hallelujah. So verse 14, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." Now notice, because they are spiritually discerned. This little passage here, once it really opened up to me, opened up really all of Dave's teachings, I understood so much better why the message of praying in tongues is so vital if you want to become a person who the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, if you want to become that kind of a person. Because that puts your spirit in direct fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. I never have to worry if there's false motives going on when I'm praying in other tongues. I think it was the Ehaws. I think it was, if it was somebody else, forgive me. But I think 20 years ago, maybe a long time ago, the Ehaws, they asked Pastor Dave, said, "I'm having trouble getting our kids to pray in tongues. Would it be okay if I paid them? You know, they're going to pray in tongues because I pay them, right?" Well, I can just imagine, you know, religion would bristle, wouldn't it? Dave says, "Oh, sure, that'll work." Amen. Oh, yeah, he said, "It doesn't matter if they start off with false motives or not. If they'll genuinely pray in tongues and keep praying, even if they start off doing it for money, the Holy Ghost will change their motivations and they'll end up doing it because they love Jesus." Isn't that great? Isn't that great? See, that's the Holy Ghost. And He is from that realm. We are from that realm. Gosh, it is the lifeline from heaven if you want to know how to function as a child of God on this earth. Excuse me, I got to go pray in tongues. I done talked myself into it again. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, go back over to James now. James chapter 3. I want to talk about the Sweetwater well for a minute. See, when it says there, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Part of that, and I know he's really talking about an unborn again person, but see, like Alan was talking this morning, we really have two minds. You really do. You have a spiritual mind, and it lives on the inside of your natural mind. The natural mind has a hard time with the things of the kingdom of God. You know, God says all kinds of stuff that even to us. Now, again, He has not called me yet to step on literal water and walk on it. Okay? But financially, He pretty well did. And the instructions that he gave Sue and I in the beginning, we had never heard of any other ministry ever functioning that way at all. Now, since then, we've learned of a few, but we didn't know anybody at the time. We just knew what he said. And every instruction we got, my natural brain refused it. Don't take up any offerings. What? Don't sell any cassette tapes. What? Don't send out any appeal letters. What? Don't let anybody know any of your needs or the needs of the ministry. What? The natural mind thinks God's lost it. But my spirit received those instructions. And it's so funny. If you guys knew how I'm really wired, what I mean is I was there. I know the conversations that happened. I go pray in tongues. I'm just doing the message, okay? I just go pray in tongues. And my spirit man, like, listens, and then he comes and he tells my mind, okay, we're not going to sell any cassette tapes. And I'm telling you, it's like there's two people in there. And the other part of me goes, are you crazy? Everybody sells their... Dave sells, in those days, even the prayer center sells... They don't... Now, today, you can get every message free, but... What? That conversation is going on between my spiritual mind and my natural mind. And I got to tell you, my natural mind thought it was crazy. And if I tell you the truth of it, today it would still think. It makes no sense to the natural man, to the natural mind. Okay? But you come to the place, you say, bow the knee. Bow the knee, mind. We are going to do what he says if it kills us. We are going to do what he says. Now here, boy, I mean, there's lots of faith in these kind of things because your natural mind's going, I don't think you're hearing God at all. See, how did Alan say that today? Said it so well. See, the natural mind, it understands the old covenant. It does. It understands. The flesh man understands the old covenant. That's how the old, it understands how to relate to God that way. Okay? But the natural man, the flesh, it has no concept of God as Father. See, and it shouldn't, because God's not really the father of your flesh. God is the father of your spirit. Your spirit man is hearing family things and then speaking that to your natural soul, which still doesn't consider itself to be the family. And it, yes, sir. See, he uses everything in our history, does he not? See, I happen to grow up in a family business. My dad worked for Manhattan Construction for years, and then he worked for Flint Co. for years. And then eventually they wanted him to move to New York City. And Dad says, New York City is too far from my fishing hole. And my dad only has an eighth grade education now, okay? But he's a very smart man. But he only had an eighth grade education. But he says, I'm not going to New York City. They didn't have anything local for him, you know. So he says, I'm going to launch out on my own. So here's my dad with an eighth grade education going to start his own business, okay? And I'm telling you, the road gets rocky and it gets tough. I grew up in that household, though. Let me say it this way. I grew up in a family business. Now, I was also an employee. Dad had me out digging ditches from the time I was 12 years old, you know, learning how what work is and learning to be a man, okay? And I learned pretty well. But still, over the years, see, growing up that way, even though I was out with the laborers, I was out with the hired hands doing the same work, I found out there's a difference between employees and sons. At the end of the day, all the employees, they went to their own homes. But the son, he got to sit down at the dinner table with Daddy. And the meal was not based on how well I did that day. Oh, you poured 4 cubic yards of concrete. Oh, okay. You get 2 chicken legs. Now, tomorrow, if you only do 2 cubic yards, you only get 1 chicken leg. Was it like that? No. See, the son, the family, dies. Even though out in the field, it looks like we're all doing the same thing, there is a difference. Well, I've learned that now. See, even though, yeah, we'd be out there, we'll be feeding the poor, doing whatever, But listen, we are no longer servants. We are sons who choose of our own free will to serve. One of my favorite series that he ever allowed me to teach is called The Serving Son. The Serving Son. And I highly recommend it to you. All right. Did you ever find James again? All right. Let's quickly read. Let's see. Yes. I want to read a little past. We've got about 5 minutes. I'll read what we read this morning, but I want to go a little farther and make it into the Sweetwater Well here. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Now let me stop, because it is true how Dave teaches this, and I've taught it too. The real root, the foundational teaching here, is talking about false teachers. Be not many masters. Okay, so with your words, if you don't bridle your tongue with what Jesus said, you can come up with your own gospel. And pretty soon, you've got this giant choir out in the middle of the desert. Okay, we're talking about the Mormons and that type of thing. You can lead people astray, and that's still going on today. That's why Paul left Timothy in Ephesus and charged him not to allow anybody to preach any other doctrine than what Paul had taught there. Doctrine is important. I don't care whether you like it or don't like it. Doctrine is important, okay? So I know that's the root of it. But the fruit of this verse also, you can change the direction of a horse. You can change the direction of a ship. You can change the direction of the body of Christ. And you can change the direction of your own life if you ever learn to bridle your tongue. Put a bridle of God's word. The ultimate example is Jesus when the enemy came to destroy him. Temptation after temptation. Boy, Jesus put the bridle on his tongue, did he not? It is written. It is written. He wouldn't speak anything except what the word of God said. That's how you do it. And the devil has nothing. He has nothing that can overcome the word of God when it's spoken in real faith. He has nothing. God's word is truth. There's nothing higher. There's nothing that's going to overturn God's word. But it's got to be believed. And believed is believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth. And I got to go quicker or we're never going to make it. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. In other words, you can change the direction by putting that bit on your tongue. He goes even bigger. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great. I mean, you can have a lot of momentum. You get the Queen Mary going and been going for a while. That's a lot of momentum. And driven of fierce winds. That's a type of the devil trying to blow you in a certain direction, see? But even that, you can change the direction. They are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor lists. And he says, even so the tongue. It's just like that helm on that big ship. You turn that thing the way it needs to go. You turn that thing with the word of God. You get your tongue bridled with the word of God. You start calling those things which be not as though they were, and that ship will turn. That situation will change. You will see God's will manifested, and I mean every time. Amen? He said, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Boy, does it ever. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, this is the season of fires out in California. And they're talking about that King fire that just so many thousands of acres. And it started with one guy with a little match. One guy, just a little. He said, the tongue is like that. You got to be careful with your tongue. Boy, you can start big fires with that rascal. Say it with me again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I choose life. And I speak life. Hallelujah. Now let me go on here a little. Man, we're out of time, but I'm going to give me 3 minutes. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. Yeah? If you're not careful, that's the way the world is. And if you're not careful, pretty soon you'll just be talking like the world. I catch myself doing it. I've been catching myself lately. Yeah, my back is killing me. I love that to death. What does that even mean? I mean, you know, smack. He says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So no fountain both can yield salt water and fresh. Now what does that tell you? There's two fountains on the inside. You got a spiritual mind and you got a natural mind. Okay? Yeah, that's why one moment you can pray for your enemies, and the next moment you want them obliterated. Okay. You're speaking out of your spiritual mind, or you're speaking out of your natural mind. Now what we've got to do is renew our natural mind to the things of the Spirit so that our first thought towards that person is God's thought towards that person. See? Alright? You got that? It's not your spirit cursing them. Get it straight. Yeah, it's not your spirit cursing them. You don't have like fresh water and salt water coming out of your spirit. No, there's two fountains in there, but there's only one mouth. Okay, man. And I'm not going to give a whole lot of examples because you guys could each one of you stand up here and give your own cotton picking examples. You know what I'm talking about. So what do we got to do? Well, the mind has to be renewed. Got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. You really are at your core. You are a freshwater well. Yes, sir. I understand. All right. Lord, you know we're running late. I'm not going to try and turn to this. Now, that does not mean... Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus did it right? Yes. See, it does not mean that every word that ever proceeds out of your mouth will not offend people. It takes real guts, I think, to go to a preacher's conference like Jesus did and stand up in their conference and look at the leaders and say, you are of your father, the devil. You reckon that might have offended a few people? You know, you whitewashed tombstones, you brood of vipers. What I'm saying is that freshwater well does not mean it's not. We're not trying to say it's always going to be ooshy-gooshy, full of humanistic ideas of what love is. Love will rescue people from hell. Love will speak the truth even if they put you on a cross for it. Amen? But it will be truth. But it will be truth. Say it one more time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I choose life. And I speak life in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.